tonight. Amen. Look in your Bibles, the book of 1 Corinthians tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read a few verses and we'll pray, try to preach as the Lord directs our heart, give some instructional type preaching here in these verses tonight, and try to help young Christians, remind us older Christians some things as we're here observing the Lord's Supper tonight. And I do always enjoy this time where we gather around the Lord's table. And what a time to remember, time of blessing that it is to our hearts as the people of God. I said this the other day, and it bears repeating. As you think about Calvary, there is a part of you that will get excited, will rejoice and shout. And then there's another part of you just wants to bow your head in shame because your sin, my sin, nailed Christ there. So as we gather here, that's the way I feel each time I gather around the Lord's table. I'm thankful. I bless His name. At the same time, I hang my head saying, oh God, it's me that put you there. And I tell you, I'm thankful for Him taking my place. And the good news is He took your place as well. Amen. And I thank Him and I pray Him for it tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, you're well and able. I stand tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning in verse number 23, we'll read down through about verse 34 or 31, something like that. We'll read a while and just pray and then try to preach as God would direct our heart. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which He is betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, that we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Let's pray together. Father, I thank You, Lord, tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for this time, this occasion. I pray for just a little while. May our hearts and our minds be open to the Scripture. I pray may the Holy Spirit be able to speak to us by Your Word tonight. Father, we ask You, Lord, if there's one in our midst that does not know You as Savior, may this be the night that the Holy Spirit will reprove them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Lord, then repent, flee to You, and be saved. Oh, Lord, help us as Your people. Lord, may tonight be a time of heart searching. May tonight be a time of exhortation to the child of God. May this be a time that we are reminded of what You did in our place. And Lord, help us, oh God, to go out into this world and let them know of the difference that Christ has made in our hearts. Help us tonight at everything You do. We'll praise You and we'll thank You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight out of these verses simply about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. For we are finding here in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to a carnal church. We know that this church had multiple problems and he's correcting things as he writes, but he also is dealing with them about the Lord's Supper in the verses that I've read in your hearing. Now, as I begin praying and meditating about these verses, there's there's three things I want to look at, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. I can ask, first of all, at when was the Lord's Supper instituted? We find in these verses, in verse 23, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. We find also there in Matthew chapter 26, the account. They're in the upper room. They have gathered for the Passover. They have observed the Passover. Judas has left that upper room to go get those men that had to deliver the Lord Jesus into their hand. And then the Lord institutes what we refer to as the Lord's Supper. In Matthew 26:26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." We find that the Lord set this up the very night that he is to be betrayed in the hands of sinful men. The night Judas has sold him out for just a few pieces of silver. And our Lord there in the garden, I believe as he prayed, I believe there our sin began to be laid upon him. Everything we'd ever do, everything anybody in the world had ever done or would do, we find that the Lord Jesus became that sin. Oh yeah, you see, sin's an awful thing. I know in our day folk think you can play with sin and go, oh, but sin's so awful that it cost Christ his very last blood. He had to become something that he had never been, never could do. But he laid your sin upon himself, and he nailed the handwriting ordinances against us to his cross. Hey, he instituted this time we're doing. The very night he is to be betrayed. I'm going to tell you something, you talk about love. The love of God. Somebody said, explain it. Well, you can preach about it, write songs about it, but you'll never get it all told. You'll never fully, I believe, describe the love of God. I believe that's why the word so is found there in John 3:16. For it said, "For God so loved the world," to let you know you ain't got enough words. I don't have enough words to describe that love that the Lord has for us. Oh, friend, tonight I'm glad he loved you and he loved me. And let me stress this to you. Hear me and hear me well. It wasn't just for the good people Jesus died. We call some good, but I will say there's none good, for that's what the Bible says. But I tell you, he died for the religious person. He died for the moral person. He died for the one steeped in the deepest part of sin. He died for all men. Oh yeah, that night as he is going to become sin, be forsaken by all. Hey, his own father the next day would turn his back on him. And because of your sin and because of my sin, that's the night that our Lord institutes this supper. Oh friend, tonight I'm glad for the occasion and I'm glad for what Jesus has done. Not only see when it was instituted, but I want to talk a little bit on why it was instituted. Why would the Lord do this? Why would he start with the disciples and then have them in the churches begin to observe the Lord's Supper? Why is that fact? Well, it's because, as the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, it's a time of remembrance. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." You see, ladies and gentlemen, let me help you right here. We are not here remembering the founding fathers of America tonight. And I'm glad for our founding fathers. We're not here remembering those that started this church. Amen, and I'm glad they did. But we are here remembering him. Amen. Hey, the one that means all, the one above all, the one better than all, the one who's greater than all. Hey, that's who we're here remembering tonight, is the lovely Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a time of remembrance. We're gathering to remember. I like something I read today. Dr. John Phillips made this statement. He said this. He said, you notice it didn't say we're here in memory of. Yeah, man, let that sink in on you. We're not here in memory of. We're here in remembrance of. Big difference. Hey, in memory of, they're gone, never to be seen this side of heaven again. Hey, but to be remembered, oh, they are alive and well, and he is alive and well. Amen. We are here remembering him. Preacher, what do we remember? Well, first, we're remembering his body. In verse 23 and 24, he said he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Ladies and gentlemen, that body that God had prepared him. Hey, and I'll say this, according to Hebrews, he said, a body hast thou prepared me. That was a special body. I will say that. Some may want to argue the theological terms with me on that, but I'm telling you, it was a special body because what he had to do. Amen. But understand this too. John 4 tells us God is a spirit. Spirit can't die. That's right. So he had to wrap himself in flesh so he could die. That body, ladies and gentlemen, that had touched the eyes of the blind and opened them, those that had touched little children, hey, that body, they took him, they stripped him, they beat him, they spit upon him, hey, they whipped him with a cat of nine tails, hey, they buffeted him, they put a crown of thorns on his head, hey, they mocked him, they scorned him, hey, every bit of that was to his body. It was broken, it was bruised, it was a cut, it was the nails driven through the hands and feet. Hey, for your sin and for my sin tonight. Oh, we're here remembering that body. Isaiah said in Isaiah 52 and verse 14 that his visage was marred more than any man. Now, most of you, like I am, you've been raised around them little old pictures of Jesus, and he's got a trickle of blood on his brow and from his hands and his side. But ladies and gentlemen, that ain't a true, accurate description of what he looked like. For he was beaten beyond recognition. He was bruised for your iniquity and mine iniquity. Oh, friend, he was beaten so bad, friend, a bloody mess there on Calvary. Hey, he was broken for you and me. Amen. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, every lash was our sin doing that. Every one of them. Every time they smote him, every time they spit on him, hey, that was man doing their worst. Amen. And the Lord Jesus taking it all. Amen. You talk about love. Now, men, and I'm talking to men, I'm not talking to this sissy crowd, I'm talking to men. Somebody spits in your face, that starts a fight. Amen. That ain't something that you just look over. That ain't something you can handle real easy. But our Lord took them spitting in his face. Hey, because of the sin debt of the world. Amen. You take that bread in here in just a few minutes. I want you to be reminded as that plate comes by and you take your piece of that bread that you realize this was for me. My sin did this. Amen. Oh, friend, we are remembering his body. That he gave his life, the ransom for sin. There was no other way. There are some good songs, and I try not to be overly picky with the words. Sometimes songwriters use words because of poetic reasons, and I'm aware of that. But I want to say something right here. All else had failed because man couldn't save himself. But Christ came not as plan B, but it was the only plan. Amen. Hey, the law was never given to save man. Never was. It was to reveal the sinfulness of men and the holiness of God. Hey, you can't get saved by law keeping. Because if you break it at one point, you're guilty of all of it. Amen. By the way, there's more than 10 commandments too. Amen. There's over 600 of them, matter of fact. That's a lot of commandments to try to keep. Amen. Well, the Lord knew you couldn't. He knew I couldn't. So he took our place. He laid down his life, amen, for the atonement, for the price of sin. He laid himself down. That's his body. Then we're here remembering his blood in verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Hey, we find as we're here and we'll drink that cup. And by the way, it is just grape juice. There's nowhere in this Bible teaches using wine at the Lord's Supper. Nowhere. Oh, but preacher, it said wine. You show me where it said the word wine and I'll eat that Bible. That's how serious I am about it. Because it said the fruit of the vine. It didn't say nothing about wine. Amen. By the way, wine has to ferment. That's right. Just as sure as that bread doesn't have leaven in it, because, hey, leaven in the Bible is a type of sin. So is fermentation. Amen. Hey, you hear me about that again. It ain't liquor. It ain't right to drink. Never has been. Never will be. Amen. It's just grape juice, but it's to remind us that he shed his blood. By the way, he didn't shed just a few drops. He shed all of it. Amen. And I will say this too. It didn't dry up on the ground. Amen. That's right. I know we use the word stain in so many songs and sermons. I know what you're saying. I know why it's been. But hey, it didn't dry up. It is on the mercy seat before the Father tonight, and it still speaks on, great God in heaven, it still speaks justified, justified, justified. Well, yes, that's holy blood, divine blood, righteous blood, godly blood, wonderful blood. Hey, it's the blood of the Lamb of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Hey, the blood of Christ is the atonement for sin tonight. No other way but by the blood. Oh, you say, preacher, you're part of that old-fashioned stuff. That slaughterhouse, call it what you will. It's still without the shedding of blood. There is no remission. Amen. And I'll say this too. It ain't just like chicken blood and lamb's blood. It was God's blood that was shed on Calvary that day. Oh, yes. You see, that blood is what it took to pay for your sin. Sin's awful. Sin has to be paid for. His blood was shed. Hey, I like it, don't you? Hebrews said he entered in once. Amen. Took that blood to the Father and presented it. God was satisfied with it. Hey, the altar of the Old Testament was a hungry altar. It cried for more blood, more blood. But when Christ's blood was shed, said, I'll need no more. Amen. I'll throw out this little bit of information for you too. You'll read the four Gospels together about the crucifixion at 3:00 in the afternoon. That's when he laid out, he gave up the ghost, said, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. That's the time of the evening sacrifice. That's right. They began, no doubt, to cut the throat of that lamb there at the temple in Jerusalem. But before they could get, great God in heaven, before they could ever get that lamb's blood in a basin and get it behind the veil there in the temple, God got that blood. And he ripped the veil from top to bottom. Hey, he said the way's already been made. Hey, ain't no need for the lamb's blood now. The Lamb of God has shed his blood and sin has been taken care of. Oh, friend, I'm glad for that blood tonight. Oh, we're remembering the body, we're remembering the blood, but we're also remembering the bodily resurrection. That's right. Preacher, where do you get that in that text? You may say, well, verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, listen to this, ye do show the Lord's death. Well, you said, preacher, that's death. That's right. Listen, it ain't ended there. Till he come. How can he come if he's dead? Amen. He's coming because he's not dead. Amen. He will come again. Oh, yeah. Hey, friend, tonight we're remembering the redemptive work of tonight. His body, his blood, his bodily resurrection. But also in this same verse, verse 26, we're remembering Christ is returning. He is coming back. He said, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Man, think about that. We're observing this tonight. You know, before that plague could get by you, the Lord himself, amen, not sending Paul, not sending Moses, not sending Elijah, but the Lord himself could descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead Christ will rise first, then we which are alive remain. What's going to happen? We'll get changed, amen, and caught up and be with him and go with him. Oh, it could happen even tonight. Oh, he's coming. Hey, you see the rapture? Hey, that's what I'm looking for. Amen. He's coming to catch us away, snatch us away. That's right. Hey, there'll also be the revelation 7 years later. That's right, too. Because he's coming back to this earth. You say, where do you get? Hey, listen, it would be hard for me not to be a premillennialist. Matter of fact, I just have to quit preaching the Bible to be anything but a premillennialist. Amen. Why? Because this Bible teaches he's going to reign. And it don't say as it were, like unto either. Amen. Matter of fact, hear what, you would believe Jesus, wouldn't you? You know, you ever heard that crowd, I just believe the words in red. Well, I'm going to give you something in red. How about that? He said, Matthew 26, 29, but I said to you, he's speaking to those disciples in that upper room that night, but I said to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That's pretty good facts right there. You say, what do you mean by, I believe it, because that's what he said. He is coming back to rule and reign on this earth. I'm looking forward to that. I really am. It ain't that I'm looking forward to reigning with him. I'm just glad it's finally going to run right. Amen. Because I tell you, I got no confidence in none of them. I really don't. I'm just being honest with you. But I'll promise you one thing, when Jesus Christ returns in that revelation, riding on a white horse, and we're going to ride white horses too. Amen. I don't care nothing about riding horses, but I'm looking forward to riding that one. Amen. And we're going to come back and he'll speak in the, as he comes through the valley of Megiddo, the army of the Antichrist will be destroyed. Hey, and when he gets to Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, he's going to dismount. And when he does, it's going to split down the middle. And he's going to go into that temple that will be built for the tribulation period. And he is going to sit down and he's going to rule. And he's going to reign for 1,000 years. Amen. See, I'm remembering that tonight. That's right. Because I know it's coming because what he did. Amen. So we see when it was instituted, why it was instituted. Let me say this and we'll have an altar of prayer. The warning to the individual, for we're taught in this scripture not to go at this lightheartedly. For the Bible said there in verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, there are some misconceptions with that word unworthily. And where I'm from, the mountains, that's a word that, man, it puts more fear in people than it might ought to, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. You get this idea, well, I've got to be perfect. That ain't what that's saying. This is about coming. That word unworthily means irreverently, lightly. I'm not approaching this table that way tonight. I'm approaching it knowing what he did. Amen. I've got in full perspective what we're doing tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, understand me tonight that unworthily is talking about your approach toward the table. But I will say this. If I saved and I had unconfessed sin, I'd get it right. Sure would. Listen to me, it'd be off for take. And you know, hey, what you're doing, sin right now. And hey, listen to me, I won't get it all right before I partook. I really would. I wouldn't want to partake without having that thing get right. You say, preacher, how in the world? Hey, he said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can get right with the Lord. You sure can. Hey, and I'm going to say this to you that's lost. You can't get saved taking this either. There's no saving properties in this tonight. None. Nothing. It only make you more saved. Ain't got nothing to do. You're partaking of it as a saved person looking back at what he done and what he's going to do. Amen. Hey, tonight, my heart desire, as we gather, we let us, as he said, examine ourselves. Let a man judge himself. And by the way, we find if we'll judge ourselves, we won't get chastened. Amen. When you sin, get it right. Don't let it pile up. Get it right. Amen. Now, see, you get taught about sinning, people don't understand that part. Everybody just thinks you only sin if you say some bad words or you drink some liquor. That ain't the only sins they are in this world. Please remember to him that do good and doeth not, to him it's sin. That which is not of faith is sin. That's right now. Hey, we just need to come and say, Lord, show me. As the psalmist said, matter of fact, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Hey, look me over real good, Lord, is what the psalmist is saying. Because I promise you this, before I ever even get in the pulpit, I ask God to cleanse me and help me. And if there's something that I hadn't even dealt with yet in my own life, God, show it, because I sure don't want to get in that pulpit with it. I want it right with him. Amen. Oh, friend, tonight, this Lord said, what a joy it is. What a time of reflection that the Lord's Supper is for us tonight. And I pray tonight as you've come that some of our visitors didn't know maybe we was having it tonight, others were. And I will say this, and listen to me. For a lot of you, you probably ain't going to understand the terminology and you ain't missing nothing. I'll just be real honest. But I will say this, I'm open communion. Now, what does that mean, preacher? Well, there's really three veins of thought now. We're just two. There's closed communion. That's the one say just your church only can take it. Open communion says everybody of like faith can. If you're saved, you can take it. That's where I stand. Because to be saved, we are a part of the body of Christ. All right? That's why I'm open communion. I didn't even know there was such stuff as that type of priest in Texas. I didn't. I'm a mountain boy. When I was a boy, Brother G.W., you know it's right. You had that Lord's Supper table and the Baptist showed up on Sunday night. And half of them would, son, you bowed your head first time, looked up, half that crowd done left. They scared, said, hey, they didn't want to partake without knowing it was right with God. They'd take off. You didn't have to worry about open or closed. Amen. So I just learned later on that such thing. But I'm open communion. If you're saved, you can partake. If you're saved right with God, hey, we're a part of the family of God. Amen. There's another one called close. And that just means just of the exact same faith, not anybody outside. I just believe being saved puts you in the family, and that's the reason I stand where I do with it. Amen. So if you're wondering about that, that's all they are to it. Amen. But I want to mention that tonight because we do have visitors that might know things about that. But I say tonight, it's a special time for us, a holy time. Amen. I'm glad I partake. For the children here tonight, you're not saved, you can't partake. Anybody that's not saved, don't partake. Those who are saved are able to partake of this table tonight, and we want you to. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray you'd have your will and way. And Lord, all you do, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. Let me ask this question. Is there someone here? I just really believe this, give them part of an invitation, and we're going to have a big altar prayer in just a minute. But is there someone here tonight say, Preacher, I'm lost. I'm not saved. Would you remember me in prayer? I see that young hand. Preacher, I'm lost. Pray for me. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm not saved. Remember me. Amen. Tonight, as we're here, Miss Era's going to play. I want everybody that can, who is able, to come bow around the altar, the holding for you.